Hi, everybody around the world. You are on the Mike and Abe Show, and we're not here every week, I just want to say we're trying to get here.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, sometimes Mike is busy, sometimes I'm busy.
Right.
This is Abe, by the way. Mike is in the background there.
That's
okay?
Me. Yes.
And, you know, we broadcast all over the planet on the internet, and we do get emails from just about the tip of the earth, you know, Australia, okay?
Wow.
I want to say hello to Australia. You know, unfortunately, you're down under, but it's probably a better world than we have here.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're stuck with the Uberites. But what they don't have in Australia, maybe, okay, I've never been there, is the condition of the roads in New York City, okay?
Hey.
And Mike, there was an article that I saw this morning in News 12 Brooklyn was the producer of this article, and there's a video in the article, and you can see the article on NYC Taxi News. I put a link up for it, okay, on the news page, okay? And they're showing pictures of what it's like underneath the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. And the part of the expressway that they're showing is the elevated part that goes from Cadman Plaza to Atlantic Avenue.
Okay?
Right? The beams are all rusted. The beams are cracked. And I'll tell you something, Mike. I personally, after seeing this, will never drive a car on that road until it's fixed.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, God forbid they get somebody with some paint to paint these beams over the course of history. And now, I mean, it's right by the salt. It's by the bay and the ocean and blah, blah, blah. The maintenance, I mean, we had one time in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, generations ago, we had the wherewithal, the resources, and the manpower. I'm not going to say people power, the manpower to fix these things and build them from scratch. These things didn't even exist. And now we can't even paint them, we can't patch them, we can't fix them,
Mike,
and it's a disaster.
I want to say this, it's beyond paint, it's beyond patch.
Oh, yeah?
Okay, yeah. I want you to look at this article when you get a chance, and everybody else, go to NYC Taxi News, go to the current news articles page, and you'll see a link for it, and I want you to watch the video that's in the article, and they will show you. They will show you, and Ms. Trautenberg was there, you know, saying we're going to do the best we can, okay?
Yeah.
Well, the best they can hasn't been good enough, all right?
Yeah.
Up to now.
It's a disaster.
And what you're thinking of doing is, one possibility is closing the road down and detouring the traffic around it on the Brooklyn Promenade, a place where people go to enjoy themselves. Okay, so that, you know, basically, they don't have a solution. They don't, okay? And the last thing I would want to happen to anybody is to be traveling on that road and have it collapse under you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right? Okay? You know, you see on the news sometimes bridges collapsing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a horror waiting to happen.
Well,
okay.
the horror that we're stuck with is, in my opinion, Polly Trautenberg, because she probably knew about this for years, and now she came out with something I heard where it's like, okay, well, how long is it going to take to fix this? Because it's just basically the glue between the BQE coming from Queens going into Brooklyn. You have to go through there, and she goes, well, it should take about, we're going to say 6 years. So she's talking about 6 years. And these things take so long. I mean, you get skyscrapers thrown up in a year and a half, and every time something like this happens,
I know
it's years. Why is this years? It's ridiculous.
Well, my opinion is the only way to fix this is tear it down and rebuild it.
Yeah, that's all. Don't repair. Everybody's into repair.
Yeah.
I guess it's a big money making repair scam going on, in my opinion. Versus, and the other thing, I'll tell you one thing, Abe. When they're rebuilding LaGuardia, and this is the insanity of it, I live by a road where the trucks are coming in with beams, and iron and concrete and everything like that. The road is warped. So now they're going to have to refix the road again. And I have yet to see one barge coming in on the water with beams and concrete. And apparently they go back and forth with trucks and trucks and trucks. Why don't they use a little common sense? Like, this thing they're going to build on the BQE is right by the water, and they have ocean liners right there. I mean, why are they going to be trucking and trucking and all this transfer? Get ocean liners or barges to bring this stuff in, because somebody told me they're throwing spitballs at a problem because they want to keep these jobs on the books. Like, if they fix it right away, then all of a sudden it's fixed, but then you have, like, a lot of people, visually, it looks like a lot of people are unemployed. So they want to keep people employed for 6 years while everyone else has to suffer, so it looks like, you know, people are working, and meanwhile, a six-month job becomes a six-year job. So it's all kinds of BS, and with the elections coming up, I have no clue why some people are going to keep getting reelected, because the current regime is just a disaster. I mean, you look at all these projects all over the city, they're half done, they're three-quarters done, then they're finished, and we have to refinish it. Like, the Van Wyck, I thought was finished, 678 coming out of JFK, I thought it was done, I thought it was over. Now the orange barrels are up again, and they're fixing something else. What the hell is going on? It's like obsessive compulsive disorder or something. But I want to thank you for this article. What else did the article say?
Well, that's basically it, okay? Uh-huh. It's from News 12 Brooklyn, okay? And it's a short article, but the crux of the article is in the video that's on the article.
Oh, okay,
which shows you exactly what it looks like underneath that right. road that people, that millions of people, hundreds of thousands every day.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the count, probably over a million. Okay, people every day travel on. Okay, I used to use that road a lot when I lived in Brooklyn.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and look, in the taxi business, we use all the roads. Okay, you know, if you get a fare from downtown Manhattan to Bay Ridge, you're going to use that road. Okay. You're
going
to go over to Brooklyn Bridge. You're going to go over to Brooklyn Bridge and get on the BQE and start heading out towards Bay Ridge. And that's exactly where it is. As soon as you get on the BQE, when you go over to Brooklyn Bridge, okay,
right.
That's where it is.
Well, right? I had a friend of mine who was in the Navy. He said, they used to say in the Navy, if it moves, salute it. If it doesn't move, paint it. So all these things in New York that are now have to be replaced in construction and repair. Then you could have just painted this thing over the years. Just get some paint. Paint the freaking thing. Anybody with a house knows if you don't paint something, it'll rust. And if it rusts, it's going to corrode and collapse. So
You know. Maybe they could use materials that where you don't have to worry about rust. Okay? You know, non-metallic materials. They can make plastic strong enough probably to support this stuff.
Well,
you know?
I have every confidence that the construction will be using the cheapest shit they can find imaginable under the sun, and it'll be a slop job, and the 6 years will be 12 years. And you know, these poor people, I don't feel sorry for anybody, you know, more than me, but these people in Brooklyn, all of a sudden they say the L train has to be shut down to repair. Now they have the BQE has to be shut down to repair. And these people just bought million-dollar condominiums and houses and properties, and all of a sudden, now that they've sold all these million-dollar condos and properties with the city of New York, then they're going to say, oh, by the way, we're going to have to shut down the trains and close the highway. So I would be extremely ticked off if I lived in Brooklyn near this mess, because it's unfair, and it's politics at its worst. And you have this regime that is running again, and the Cuomo regime, who's been running the show for 8 years. It's his baby. I mean, he's been in the job for 8 years. What has he been doing for 8 years? I just have no clue what is going on with the roads. Horrible. And go ahead.
Well, I just want to say there's a way to avoid that road if you're going over the Brooklyn Bridge, and you want to go to the same spot where that road takes you.
Right.
You could make a right turn on what street is that? I forget, but where you would get on the BQE and keep going, and you go down towards the water, and there's a road that runs along the street alongside it.
Yeah.
You gotta look at the map. Okay, I have to look at the map to see exactly what street that is. But look for ways to avoid it. That's my advice. Don't go on that road unless it's an absolute must.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take a look at it. I'll take a look.
And alert your passengers. This road is a dangerous road.
Yeah, carry a picture of it in your cab.
Yeah, carry a picture of it. They should put the video on the screen in the back of the cab.
Show
the people, you know. See, that's good. That would be great if you could use that TV screen in the back of the cab to flick a switch and show videos that you have saved.
Right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And just let them know, oh, by the way, in order to get where you want to go, we have to go on this road. And you flick the switch, and they see the video, and they say, don't you dare go on that road. Don't you dare. You know, you could take Flatbush Avenue, extension from the Manhattan Bridge, and go all the way over by Prospect Park, and go down Prospect Park Southwest, first Prospect Park West, and then make a left and go around the circle there and go down Prospect Park Southwest.
Right.
Okay, and that'll take you to the same spot, basically, also. You would be off the Prospect Expressway then.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but just try to avoid it. Okay, that's it.
Well,
you know?
I just want to follow up that with another little dig at the idiot who's running the show at the Department of Transportation. The other thing is the UN session is in town, and I see all these streets in Manhattan under repair. They've been scraped down to the concrete, waiting for the fresh tar to be put on, and I'm guessing that somebody screwed up, and these roads should have been scraped and re-tarred and looking fantastic for the unveiling for the UN people from all over the world. But instead, somebody probably screwed up and was a couple of weeks late. So instead of the UN presidents from all over the world coming to see a beautiful New York with great streets, Polly Trottenberg, the loserette running the Department of Transportation, probably had some snag, where now all the streets are ripped up and there's construction all over the place. And instead of it being smooth and wonderful for the visiting dignitaries visiting the UN from all over the world, the streets of New York now look like a complete shit show. And I had a guy in the cab last night. It was a nothing job. Any cab driver listening, it's a nothing job. It was going from Broadway and Spring to 76 in Columbus. Broadway and Spring, 76 in Columbus. I'm like, okay, well, let me take the West Side Highway or Penn Avenue, go up. No big deal, because if I take First Avenue with the Queensboro Bridge and blah, 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 and the UN is still got some stragglers over there with them going to dinner with these entourages and everything. So I go across whatever it is, Broome to West Side Highway, completely jammed with Uber cars. Uber cars up the yin-yang. Little black Camrys, little SUVs squashed into the meatpacking district. A lot of them are empty, so I'm guessing they must have got a call, we need cars in the meatpacking district, so they all swarmed in like locusts into that area. And they're looking at each other, and they have like, nobody's in these cars, just swarmed into cars. You can't move. This is going from, I'd say, Houston Street to Spring Street, and then up on the west side to 14th Street, completely jam-packed. So the meter's clicking away. I felt bad, so I flipped the guy a $5 bill, because technically, you know, I should have probably taken the east side if I would have known it was so horrible, but I got no notice that it was horrible. So
let me ask you this. What about going up 6th Avenue and then...
I did. I went up 6th Avenue, and then it was jam-packed beyond that. You have no idea. It was a sea of black little Uber Camry cars. And so I got cut over on Greenwich Avenue trying to get to 8th. I took a peek at 8th and said, that's no good. So I kept going west, and I tried to get onto the West Side Highway. It was jammed up with more orange cones construction, which wasn't finished. So we have this thing with the Department of Transportation. It's just a disaster. Nobody's doing anything about anything, and it's really disturbing, A, that nobody's doing anything. B, I'm just curious how these people keep getting reappointed and reelected if they can't even take care of traffic. So it is a complete disaster, but at least they're rebuilding some roads. And I got to really see this Brooklyn thing you're talking about. Where is it again on the website? You have it where?
Just go to the news page where I put all the news stories. And right now it's at the top of the page. I'll give you the headline. Give me a second. I'll bring it up. It says DOT offers rare look under BQE as it considers construction, and it's from News 12 Brooklyn is the news source, And then there's a link that'll take you right to the story.
Oh, so they're considering construction, so this thing is still open in its present form.
Oh, yeah, they're only considering it, yes.
They should have considered it
15 years ago.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I guess politically, if you wait till it collapses and 300 people get killed, then you'll have the ability to charge whatever you want to get it fixed.
Then they'll have to consider all the lawsuits.
Right. Well, I guess if you're a trial lawyer, you might want to get your business cards ready and just hand them out at the entrance of the BQE. You know,
They should put up billboard signs.
call us when you die in the collapse.
If you survive, if you survive this road, right. Give us a call. You know,
have like a little offer. Have a little like kiosk. You know, like a survivor kiosk. So Oh God, help us. All right. So anyway, on the brighter side, there's no brighter side. There's only darkness and death. Let's see. What else we got?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we covered...
Well, you wanted to talk about our friend Carolyn, who spoke at the city council last Monday.
God bless her. She's a diamond in the rough. That's our girl. That's our girl. She's the best person we've ever met in this business because she's owns the medallion, and she cares, and she's risking everything to protect the rest of us ungrateful so-and-sos, and she's in front of the city council and giving them hell, which God bless you, Carolyn, wherever you are. So what'd she say? I'm horrible. What'd she say?
Well, basically she said that the old regime is a Bloomberg leftovers,
okay.
And Bloomberg, everybody heard Bloomberg say, we're going to destroy your effing industry, and right. We all know what effing means, okay? And he left, people like the TLC chairwoman, Mary Joshi, and all of his other leftovers to carry out his word.
Right.
Okay? And with the bills that have been passed by the city council and other bills that are before them, they don't have any confidence in the regime that's still there of Bloomberg leftovers, and they want a change of people that'll be serious about getting this thing, you know, things done to correct the damage that has been done to medallion owners and everybody else.
The Bloomberg swamp. Okay. The swamp creatures from the Bloomberg. Now, there's a lot of people that say Bloomberg is still the mayor. Like, de Blasio is just a front, and Bloomberg is still running the show. So I don't know, but when you...
Well, he may be running the show behind the scenes. You don't know. I mean... You know, I wouldn't make that accusation because I have no facts, but, you know, you could surmise and
Polly Trottenberg is a leftover also, right? Didn't she, wasn't she with Bloomberg also?
I don't know, but
she worked for Obama. She's always preaching about, I work for Obama. So maybe, I don't know what her relationship was, but.
She worked for Obama. Obama, I'm not going to say anything bad about Obama, except that we still don't have the health care system that we need.
That's true.
All right. Okay. So Obama tried very hard to get it done. And because he gave in to the people that didn't want it, you know, he made too many compromises, and they basically, ran him off the table.
Yeah.
Okay. And what did the Obamacare thing, it may work for some people, but it doesn't work for everybody.
Well, this is the problem. I mean, one thing I've said about health care, and, I'll tell you this, I voted for Obama, and I voted for Trump, and I voted for Kerry. I've usually been a good little Democrat, but I wanted to vote for Trump. In my opinion, I had to vote for Trump because the alternative was just like, you got to be kidding me. But the thing is, the health care in this country should be treated like basic transportation. I mean, we have a bus, a subway, basic housing. We have basic food if you're starving to death. The health care is, we should have basic, simplified health care for every living person in the United States. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to get, it's like a car. If you want to get a Subaru, you buy a Subaru. If you want to buy a Rolls Royce and you get the money, God bless you, get a Rolls Royce. But I think just from a primary standpoint, basic basic health care should be a right of every single American living in the country. And all these ultra-right-wing assholes, pardon the French, who say, we should have to pay for health. It's like, listen, we all pay for the roads. We all pay for the buses. We all pay for the trains. I have no problem paying another, what would it be like, $5 a year to ensure that my fellow Americans have some basic stuff. I mean, right now, as a cab driver, thank God we have something like Obamacare, at least in its scruffy little form. Because back in the days, you had cab drivers have to pay like $900 or $1,000 a month because they're in their own businesses to get family coverage. And then you go to the doctor, they say, oh, well, your grandfather had a heart attack in 1863, so it's a pre-existing condition based on the genetic blah, blah, blah. So at least now we have something versus nothing and some sort of prescription drugs. But you have to have basic health coverage. And that's the one thing I'm very ticked off at some of these right-wing morons masquerading as Trump supporters in that they want him to get rid of Obamacare. Listen, you don't get rid of Obamacare until you have something front and center that we can all see that'll be better than Obamacare. Because right now, it's get rid of Obamacare, and then what? No, get rid of Obamacare when you have something instantaneously ready to replace it with. Because you can't get rid of Obamacare. Then we're gonna. No. So I mean, you met a couple of horror stories.
Let me just jump in here and say that the city council meeting last Monday, it was mentioned that they do want to create a health care fund. But the paradox is, how do you do it without adding more surcharges to the meter? What would this health care fund cover? Okay.
Right. Nobody
really has the answer to that. All right.
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, they say health care fund. It's like, yeah, right. Okay. Well, what do you mean? Well, we have some Obamacare. We have income based pay care in New York City. So this health fund for the cabbies. What, like you said, is it going to augment anything that isn't covered with our current health plan?
Mike, let me just say something. I say this to a lot of people, okay? Yeah. When it comes to insurance, you know, you have to first understand what the definition of insurance is, okay? Mm-hmm. The definition of insurance, and we buy car insurance, we buy insurance for our homes, right? Excuse me. But the definition of insurance is you put up a small amount of money. Everybody puts up a small amount of money to cover a catastrophe that is very unlikely to happen, such as, will your house burn down? What's the chances that your house will burn down? How many houses in 100,000 burn down? Okay, not too many, right? Yep. Okay, so if you're the unlucky one and your house burns down, everybody has contributed enough money to take care of your needs. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right? But when it comes to health insurance, everybody needs to see a doctor. Everybody at one time or another will go into the hospital for something.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? All right? So how could you call it insurance? It's just the way it is right now in our country. It's just the insurance companies jumping in to get a piece of the action.
They should really call it maintenance, healthcare maintenance, because that's what it is. It's maintaining your health. It's not ensuring your health. I think we should have a healthcare maintenance. This is the think tank. I think we're onto something. A healthcare maintenance plan would probably be, like you said, and the other thing they don't talk about with the Obamacare and healthcare for all, how many billions, if not trillions, but how many billions of dollars have been saved by people who now are able to go to pre-screens? I mean, I'm going to get my, I'm going to get the Roto-Rooter probably in a couple of weeks. And, you know,
The Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter, yeah. Welcome to 50. They're gonna see if they find my ex-girlfriend's watch. Let's put it that way.
All right. It may still be stuck up
there. Still be stuck up there, along with a couple other things. Yeah,
like somebody. Well, they would call that a polyp.
Yeah, they might actually find one of your shoes from all the times you kicked me in the ass. So I mean, they might find that too. But I mean, the point being, pardon the crude jokes, but the fact of the matter is, I talk to a lot of cab drivers. I mean, they get pre-screens for prostate and for bladder and for colon checkups. And they find a lot of precancer stuff that, thank God, they've been able to correct versus going into the hospital and having to spend $500,000 to rip out your intestines. And then you're on death's door for the rest of your life. So there is, I think we have to get away from calling it healthcare insurance or healthcare maintenance. And like you said, we have people going to the doctors now that they're finding a lot of stuff in advance and saving us a fortune that way. So, but like you said, you've had a couple, I don't want to, you know, rat you up, but you've had a couple of situations where they've popped a bill on you when you thought you were covered. So, I mean, sadly, people
Well, I had a problem recently with the Medicare. And the problem wasn't with Medicare. It was with the facility that I went to get to do my routine blood tests. And, look, to make a long story short, I shouldn't have went to this place because, you know, their game is simple, okay? How can I explain it? We're gonna not give the correct information to Medicare, okay? And they're gonna say that you owe the bill, and then let's see you dodge it.
In your opinion.
Yeah. All right. And what happened was, I had a bill for $2,200 for some routine blood tests that Medicare always pays for. I'm a type 2 diabetic.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. And I went to my local hospital to do the blood testing because it was convenient for me. Uh-huh. And when I got this bill for $2,200, they said, Medicare said that none of this was medically necessary, which wasn't true. Okay. Right. And I appealed it, and I got close to $1,300 knocked off the bill.
Of the $2,200. Wow.
Yeah, right. And now I got it down to $800 and change. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm still fighting it. Okay. There's five levels of appeal that Medicare levels you. Okay. So I'm on level number 3 right now for the remainder. I may lose it because I don't know. I shouldn't lose it, but I may lose it. So I'm going to pay the bill if that happens, all right?
Right.
I'm going to scrounge up the money and pay the bill. Mm-hmm. All right? But I'll tell you this, I am very careful now with anything I do with Medicare. I make sure that Medicare will pay for it before I do it.
Right. Right.
Okay, and let that be a word to the wise. You know, if you're on Medicare or someday, you know, hopefully you live long enough to be on Medicare, okay, make sure that Medicare will pay for the procedure before you do it. If not, be prepared to pay it for it yourself. Okay.
Yikes, holy mackerel. Well, right. I'll tell you, not to that degree that you went through, but I have had a couple of things where I got seasonal allergies and asthma. So it's like the change of seasons in New York. It's like one day it's winter, one day it's spring. It's not really a phase in anymore here in New York City. It's just one day it's summer, the next day it's 3 feet of snow on the ground. Boom, it's winter, it's summer. So, but yeah. When that big change happens, I usually have to get a little asthma pump. No big deal. I mean, I can probably ride this thing through for about, you know, a while. But I've had the situation where I've gone to one pharmacy, they said, oh, no, we if you're going to get that, it's going to cost you $265. I said, $265. So, and then I went to another pharmacy. It's like, oh, yeah, it's going to cost a $3 copay. So you get one pharmacy wants to say it's $265. Then you walk literally down the block, and you get the other pharmacy and say it's a $3 copay. So this is I guess this is happening to lots of people all over the country now with this new healthcare stuff. Because, like you said, you go to one place, it's $2,000. The other place is saying it's not $2,000. Then you go to get a prescription. One place is saying it's a $3 copay. And the other place is saying it's $265.
There's no one watching over these people.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as a friend of mine, who I'll call Mr. AJK. Uh-huh. Okay. You know, not to mention his name. He's only known to me. He's not a popular person in the taxi business. But he said, you know, I know this person since I'm 10 years old.
Right.
Okay. And he told me, AB, he said, the world is an economic jungle. Okay, because you just described it in the medical field, but it's everywhere. It's in, you know, fixing roads. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, you know, people have to bid to get these jobs. And, you know, one person will say, well, we'll do it for $1 million. Another person will say, oh, we'll do that for $500,000. And but you don't know what you're getting. And, you know, and you just got to buyer beware. Buyer beware.
Well, okay?
Shop around. Shop around. Whatever it is, shop around.
My mama told me you got to shop around.
You better shop around. Yes, Smokey Robinson. And the miracles.
The miracles. They, also,
yeah, right. Okay.
Oh, by the way, I just want to, since you're a big doo-wop guy, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons are playing Radio City Music Hall in about a week. How old is Frankie Valli?
Frankie Valli is probably now about 83.
83. God bless his heart. Yeah. My God.
I saw him perform when he was 76. Okay. Uh-huh. I saw him perform at a venue in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Okay, when I was living in upstate New York. It was a two-hour ride to this town. And let me tell you something. If he still has it and you never seen Frankie Valli perform, you must.
He could still sing when you saw him.
Yeah, he could. Well, when I saw him, he could. That was a few years ago.
Wow.
Okay? All right. But, you know, Dion is another one you should see perform.
Dion, there's a guy with some pipes.
And we're talking about Dion DiMucci, okay?
Right.
Not Celine Dion, okay?
Yeah.
Formerly from Dion and the Belmonts, and then he sang with the Del Satins.
Right.
Okay? You know, many of his hit songs were with the Del Satins. A lot of people don't know that. They think he's still with the Belmonts. Okay? I never met Dion, but you know something? He lives in my neighborhood somewhere. Where I am.
Where was he right? He was where? In your neighborhood where? Up here or down there?
In Florida.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah, okay. And I keep looking for him in Walmart, thinking one of these days he's going to walk in there, you know. But he does make himself visible, you know. You just have to keep your eyes open.
Isn't that
you know, a friend of mine ran into him in Walgreens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, just curious. So, how many people from Brooklyn do you think are in Florida now? I mean, did they all go there? I mean, how many are there?
Well, when you say people from Brooklyn, you're talking about people that lived in Brooklyn in the 1950s and 60s.
Right, retired and went to Florida, right?
If they're still alive, they're here.
that's the way it goes. If they're alive, they're in Florida.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Everybody in the place that I live... 80% of the people in the place that I live are from New York City. From my old neighborhood in Brooklyn, I used to think to myself, what happened to these people?
Yeah.
And then I came to Florida and I said, oh, they're here.
They're next door.
Yeah.
That's something.
That's what happened to them. You know?
Well, you know, I was talking to one cab driver. Now, dig this. This is only in New York. There's one cabbie.
Yeah.
Great. There's one cabbie, he sells peanuts on the side. Here and there, the cabbies. He said he goes straight shot from Florida to New York. He leaves at 6, he gets to New York in his private car, from 6 in the morning, gets here at midnight. I said, what? I said, how often do you do that? He goes, I do it a couple times a month. So he goes down to Florida, does what he has to do, comes back. But you have some cab drivers now, they basically bought little places in Florida, and they commute to New York City. I mean, they have residency here. I guess they have an apartment with their friend or what have you. But they bought houses in Florida for cash. Because I think it's like a cheap house. So it's like if you get a loan from a bank, you have to have residency in the house to get the mortgage. But if you buy it for cash, then apparently you can have it as a second residence and still keep your apartment in Manhattan and still keep your hack license to drive a cab in Manhattan. And I'm just wondering if the TLC... as insane as it sounds, I wonder if the TLC will open up state reciprocity to Florida, because right now you can drive a yellow cab in New York and a black car and a blue car or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In New York, if you live in New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. It's like New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania. So there's four states you can live in and come in to New York to drive a cab. So you don't have to really live in the city. You can live around the city. And I'm just wondering, with all the New York stuff going on in Florida, if they would open up reciprocity for people living in Florida to drive a cab in New York, especially if they've driven for like 10 years and they want to move to Florida, but they still want to come up here and make a few bucks. Because if you go to Florida, I hate to say it, you got to bring your money, B-Y-O-M, bring your own money, because if you try and set up shop in Florida, you know, you're going to be wearing an orange vest in Home Depot, sad to say. And, it gets a little, I mean, some people like that job, but it's like, you don't want to be that person, I don't think. But
Mike, I just want to say one thing. It takes me, and I haven't driven to New York in a couple of years now, but I have done it a dozen or so times,
right.
Okay, driven back and forth. It takes me 2 12-hour days to drive to New York.
Oh, I didn't know it was that long. 2 12-hour.
Yeah. The first day I stop in North Carolina.
Right.
Okay, and then I get up in the morning and I do another 12 hours and I'm in New York.
Now, you're saying actual 12 hours of driving.
Yeah, well, you know, not straight driving, you know, stop to grab a bite, stop to go to the toilet,
right.
Whatever, you know, a couple of times, whatever you need, you know. But 12 hours of work, I would say.
Right.
Okay, all right. And so this guy that does it in 18 hours, I wouldn't want to get in his cab.
Well, it's not a cab. It's a pretty used to driving.
Well,
cab.
I go
car.
To speed limit. You know, no matter where I am, I go to speed limit.
Okay.
In some states down here.
So let's if you drank like a case of Red Bulls and left Florida or left New York, how long would it take you? Just if you said I don't care, I got to get there, and just did a straight shot, would it take you 18 hours just driving like
no,
a van?
No, I think it would take. I would think it would take close to 24 hours.
24 hours of complete
going
drive.
To speed limits. Going to speed limit, okay?
Well, how many miles?
I mean, the speed limits,
how many miles?
Well, to New York City, I believe it's 1,300 miles.
All right, so 60 miles an hour, okay. 70 miles. Yeah, well, if you push a little. I mean, if you ran between the raindrops, you might be able to do it. But, yeah,
but,
it's a lot of
but, time. But so, you know, the speed limit in Florida, in the parts that aren't too populated, is 70. In Georgia, it's 70. In the next state of South Carolina, is 70. You can go 70, okay. But then when you start getting further north, it gets down to 65,
right.
Okay. And you know, look, Mike, everybody is different. I don't pass cars. I let them all pass me. When I'm on the interstate, and I see some tractor trailer pull up next to me, right? I take my foot off the gas and I let them get ahead of me.
Oh wow! Okay.
Okay. Right. I'm not going to compete.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which is what most of these imbeciles on the road do. They compete. They think it's a competition of some kind. It's not. Driving is not a competition. The purpose of driving is to get from point A to point B and do it safely. Okay?
Yeah. Well,
all right?
Well
okay.
I'll tell you, speaking of which, let's get back for a minute to the Uber fiasco.
Yeah.
You have a lot of Uber cars on at night, and it's not my imagination because I've seen many Uber cars. They come out like a locust swarm at around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and I see some Uber drivers dutifully have their little DLC-issued hack license on the dashboard and a holder, which is great. But a lot of them, I think they're just bogus drivers. I think they got a friend who's got an Uber phone, and they give them the car. And the other thing I want to say is one thing I think is unconstitutional. You have these people, I hate them. They're little snitches who call out, call the 311 line about a cab driver change lanes in Midtown without a blinker or something like that. And then they'll call it the 311, and the TLC gets a call from 311 or the passenger and finds the driver without a hearing from this person showing up. And that has to be unconstitutional. I mean, you have the confrontation clause of the United States Constitution where you're supposed to see your accuser. You're not supposed to call in 311 and all of a sudden some judge says you're guilty. There has to be some due process at TLC. And I urge drivers who have been ripped off by the TLC for these bogus 311 calls coming in from people ratting out yellow cab drivers because they allegedly see something, probably without seeing the entire situation. And it's unfair protection under the law also because they can see cab numbers, but if an Uber driver or a limo driver does something, they're not getting a ticket because they can't see numbers on the Uber cars. The Uber cars don't have numbers where if they do something stupid on the road, a passenger can write them out right away. I mean, they have a license plate, but they don't have like a pronounced decal marking like the cab. The cab has, I think, 14 different places where the cab number is. So these people, they call up the TLC and they rat out the cab driver. And so they did something, and the TLC finds them guilty. The person doesn't even come in. You don't even get a chance to check this person out. to see if the person is a whack job, to see if the person has a criminal history, to see if the person has called up 50 times before and might just have a thing against cab drivers. So I think the 311 complaint thing and the TLC finding of drivers for these non-hearing complaints and finding them guilty, that the TLC judge says, based on the information I received, well, based on the information you received from one person, without even calling the driver in to say this, and then they have, well, you know, we'll give you a $50 settlement. It'll go on your record if you pay in advance. But if you want a hearing, you run the risk of paying $200 or $300. So they're intimidating the driver in addition. And I've talked to a couple of these drivers who've gotten these tickets, and a lot of these drivers are first-generation cabbies who have no clue what the laws are and the Constitution is in the United States of America. So they got to get rid of this. If there's any trial lawyer looking for a class action suit who wants to jump in, be my guest. And I think you also have to get into a situation where you start having to disbar some of these so-called lawyers at the TLC who work at the TLC and some of these judges, because they're violating the constitutional law. And I think they should just be, A, fired from TLC, and B, disbarred, because apparently they haven't read the law that they're enforcing. So I hope we can do something about that. Hey, what else we got on the schedule?
I just want to say something. There was an article that came out this week from NBC in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. New scam puts unchecked rideshare drivers behind the wheel.
Oh, man.
The NBC Bay, this is from NBC in San Francisco. The NBC Bay Area investigative unit goes inside a black market scheme that could allow criminals and unlicensed drivers behind the wheel for Lyft and Uber.
Yikes.
Okay, and I won't read the whole article, but basically there's a broker involved, and he gives them phony information. It's sort of like identity theft of people, and then they're driving Uber and Lyft. Okay, and Uber and Lyft are in the blind spot. They don't know what's going on, and they don't care. Or maybe they do, and they just don't know what to do about it. But you don't know who's behind the wheel in those Uber cars.
No clue.
Okay?
And like, we really don't. We have,
you know?
One thing about us with the yellow cab, we have the computer, so if you're running a cab, I mean, you can check out your drivers. You can say, okay, they're great guys, you like your drivers, but at the same time, business is business, and if you see your driver has a problem or they're suspended, you say, hey, buddy, you can't drive the cab today. Oh, I'm just going to drive for it. And they say, no. You just tell them, say, I'm not going to put the meter on. I'm going to close the meter. You're not going to get any money, and you can't drive the car. So we have that ability in our business because we have the passenger information monitor and the GPS where we can say if we see a bad driver or even a driver who might be suspended. It's like you don't know one day from the next what's going on, but you can check your status every day once you log into the system, right? I mean, I'm sure there are guys out there. The driver's a great guy and wants to work, and he's there, and all of a sudden you check the system and say, look, came up that you can't work tonight, whether it's a TLC license or a DMV license. But I think some of these Uber cars, all they have is another driver gives his friend the phone that the first driver is using, and the friend can run around and just pile up more money at night using the friend's phone. There's no login system to the vehicle, which there probably should be. I mean, the TLC, I have no clue what this current chairperson, Joshi, does.
Everybody agrees that they need the same checks as the medallion taxis, okay,
yep.
the same systems. Let me just read this one paragraph. Rideshare identity theft. The name on the account, NBC Bay Area rented, and the associated driver's license number does in fact trace back to the real person living in Southern California. We called the man at his home near Los Angeles, and he had no idea that someone created a Lyft driver profile in his name.
Wow.
Okay. So all of a sudden, you might find out that you're driving for Lyft, and you go, what?
Yeah.
Not me.
Right. No, I've had a couple of decisions where I've gotten mail at the house here. It says, the letter from the Department of Transportation, Department of Motor Vehicles. It says, Bingo Gadula is getting mail. I tell the postal, I say, listen, return the sender. Return the sender, big red letters. And I'm this close now, I feel like I should go down there. I haven't gotten it in a while because I returned the sender, all that crazy mail. But you got people, all kinds of scam artists, and they, you know, they're just very dangerous. And you get people groping women in the back seat, and invariably it's a nut who shouldn't be on the road driving one of these crazy app cars. And I think that's why the business is so busy for the yellow cab now, because people have tried working with the app car system, and a lot of these app car drivers, maybe they ain't making it. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, the yellow cab being punished once again, this $2.50 surcharge crap, which is all set to hit in January 1st, $2.50 per trip.
Plus the 50 cents that's already there.
Plus, so it's $3 being sent to the MTA, which God knows what they do with the money. And I'm just wondering, where are the leaders on this? At what point do we start doing jumping jacks?
Well, it has been brought up. It has been brought up at the city council meeting. And, you know, they didn't say they would do anything about it, but they said, well, we don't need any more surcharges, okay?
Okay.
On top of all of this. But the big question is, how will the public react to this, okay? I know me. You know, I as bad as the subway system might be, you know, as soon as I find out that I got to pay close to $6 just to say hello to the cab driver, I'll be running down the stairs of the subway.
Right.
Okay.
And what about the person who gets in and says, like, oh, gee, I'm so sorry. I can't take the cab. I got to say, hey, wait, whoa. You say you owe me $3. I mean, what about the person who gets in and you hit the meter and say, oh, and the person then says, oh, gee, I'm so sorry. I can't take that. You get to say, excuse me, you owe me $3. What's going to happen with that? I mean, that happens from time to time.
Yeah, well,
also,
this should be a mechanism for canceling that. You know,
that's the thing.
On the meter.
That's the thing. I mean,
well, look. Let's see what happens, okay? I'm sitting here, you know, with my teeth chattering.
Yeah.
Okay? Wondering what's going to happen, and it's getting closer and closer. It's almost October. You got October, November, December. Bing. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
2019, January 1st at midnight, Happy New Year. It's now $3 for the MTA.
What if they get in the cab? I mean, that's the other thing.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Right. Well, they might get in the cab New Year's Eve, okay, because they're probably too drunk to think.
Right.
Okay? All right? But let's see what happens January 2nd. All right?
Well, like I said, this is an outrage because at the same time, I've heard hardly any publicity warning the public about this, and maybe the public might want to do something. And maybe that's what the public, if they hear about it, they're going to say, what are you talking about? I've asked my passengers, and they're, well, I'm just very concerned about the extra $2.50 a trip. They say, what is there, a fare increase? I said, no, it's not a fare increase. It's money that Governor Cuomo wants to send to the MTA. They go, why are we sending it to the
passenger,
MTA?
As a passenger, it's a fare increase. As a driver, it's they're using me.
Yeah,
they're using me to raise money for them, and I'm not getting one penny out of this.
And that's the other thing is I see all. It makes me crazy. I see Uber and Lyft ads on the back of MTA buses. So what they're doing is they're advertising to tell people not to take a bus, and we're in essence propping up the revenue that's being lost. Because the advertising on the back of a city bus is promoting app companies, which are basically sucking money out of the MTA. So,
Look, let's just hope that Andrew Cuomo loses the general election.
Oh, my God.
And at least get him the hell out of there, because he's the one that did this to us.
He really did. Okay? And according to our friend Taxi Dave Pollock running around there, we had a deal. We had a deal where it was going to be a nothing. It was going to maybe go from 50 cents to a dollar. So it's like you would have said, oh, well, 50 cents, okay, whatever. And then all of a sudden, they whacked it up to $2.50.
$2.50.
On top of the 50 cents. And I'm just wondering if there was like some evil going on to destroy us. Because I got to tell you, Abe, $2.50 on a trip, you got a lady going around the corner, her $7 cab ride is going to go up to $9.50. And you got a guy going to Staten Island, his $50 cab ride is going to be $52.50. So the person going around the corner is going to get whacked, and the person going on a $50 cab ride is going to pay nothing. Is going to pay a marginal amount more. But they have the right to do this. This is an outrage. We should never let them get away with the 50 cents in the first place.
Mike, we're doing our part by talking about it here now.
Good.
Let's hope other people do their part.
I hope they will. I hope they will. I'm getting a little sick of Mike and Abe doing all the talking in this business, and everybody else is hiding. Not everybody, but a lot of people are hiding in the back trying to make their little deals. Listen, you got to get up front and start talking. We got a few people, me, you, Carolyn, Taxi Dave. We got some other people standing up and doing the right thing, trying to protect this industry. And some people sit in their ass and don't do a freaking thing. And I'm sick of it. Anyway, what else we got?
Well, let's wrap this up, Mike, okay?
Yes.
I know you got to go out soon, all right?
Yes. I got to go to work.
You got to go to work, yes.
Yeah.
It's Sunday. How's the weather in New York?
The weather is clammy. It's been the clammiest year I've ever seen. It's not hot. It's not cold. It's just bleh.
Okay, but there's a lot of people out there on Sunday that are looking for yellow taxis.
No, business is good because we're so cheap because we haven't had a fare increase in 6 years. Thank you, Joshi, the chairperson from hell.
Yeah, but they're going to give us a fare increase that we just aren't going to get any of the money.
Right, and because all the geniuses in the business said, oh, we don't want a fare increase because of Uber, guess what? You allowed the MTA to swoop in and take $2.50 a trip that should have been yours, you schmuck.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Mike. All right, that's it. Let's say hello to our great sponsors.
Yeah.
Okay, the MTBOT, okay, who gives defensive driving and wave training, course instruction, online TLC application and renewal processing, legal assistance at Oath, Port Authority, Traffic, TLC, and Criminal Court, experienced MTBOT staff members who work directly with you should you have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
And give Kanchan Das a call at 718-784-4343 and work for an MTBOT, drive for them, okay? They're good people, all right?
Right.
And Checker Management, if you MTBOT runs out of rides or if you live near them on 1105 38th Avenue in Long Island City, 718-361-6300. Checker Management. They're a very good fleet to work for, garage.
Yeah, okay. I saw a Checker Management guy on the street the other day. He was all happy about it. He got a van deal. He got a handicap van deal. And he said also the driver gets a dollar a trip now with driving a handicap van.
Yeah, he had a dollar a trip. Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Got to go to
and
Checker.
And WB Taxi. WB Taxi. Rent a car by the shift or by the week.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's in Long Island City on 43rd Avenue. 718-729-7777 and our friends at Equity Now, okay, will lend you money if you have a valuable asset such as your home, if that'll help you pay for whatever you owe on your medallion, okay?
Right.
Try to pay it off, okay? If you haven't been foreclosed on, okay?
Uh-oh.
And you can reach Equity Now at 212-664-8900. Okay? And then Queen's Medallion, they're still advertising their summer special, but they're going to be renewing their ad this week with this, I guess, a fall special. Okay.
And I'm guessing they'll have a back to school special or a fall special. Yes, they're great operation.
And they're on 44th Avenue in Long Island City, 21st Street and 44th Avenue.
Right.
718-784-9292.
And
tell them you saw the ad. And tell them you saw the ad on NYC Taxi News.
Right. And anybody out there who wants to support this website, way, shape, or form, by all means, we're all the phone lines and the emails are open. Hey, last thing on this MTA surcharge. If we would have gotten a fare increase for the yellow cab, the last one was 6 years ago. Let's say within the last 3 years, if we would have got a 10% increase for the taxi drivers and for the taxi owners in the last 3 years, do you think MTA would have had the gall to put a $2.50 surcharge on, or do you think just because we didn't get a fare increase, they saw a window to do it?
Well, I think yes, they saw a window to do it, but don't underestimate their gall.
Yeah.
Okay.
They might have done it anyway.
Even so, they might have done it anyway, right?
Because this is horrible. That should have been more. That's our money. The MTA is stealing our money. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that next week, and if everybody else is hiding and wondering for some invisible, hand to help them. We, once again, will be on the forefront of helping the industry in our own little corner of the world here. So, Abe, you have a great show. We have a great show. It's a great website. The mad scientist, Abe, is doing a great job making the website and getting the news out to all the folks in the city. And let's see, is there anything on the I have to go to work. That's on the agenda. So
Yeah, you have to go to work. That's the latest news.
Yeah,
Mike has to go to work.
Mike is working. That's the news.
Yeah, and Abe is working on the website every day.
Right.
Okay.
And I mean, like I said, if you people want to support the website, by all means, give us a holler. Like, the email is there and the phone number is there, so by all means, give us a holler.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Abe, I'll see you next week.
Thanks. Thanks for listening, folks, and till the next time, have a great, I hope everything works out well.
Okay? Happy everything, that's what I said.
Happy everything. Bye, everyone.
See ya. Good night. Bye.